a special edition of Sonic Clash Radio. I'm Double G, along with George here, and we're going to talk about Season 9 of The American Idol. George, what's going on?
I want to say, oh, dog. No, I don't want to say, oh, dog. I can't take Randy anymore. Can we have a new judge? Hi, Double G. I'm so looking forward to talking about American Idol tonight because we did this last year, and we rocked the house, and we have to redeem ourselves now. You know why.
Yes, yes, I do know why. We didn't look too good in the prediction contest there on Sonic Clash that we did.
No, we didn't. Well, why don't you tell folks where we finished?
So there were three people who picked 9 out of the top 12, and this was after we broke it down to the top 20. So they had to eliminate 8 people, and 3 of them won with actually they didn't win, but 3 of them got 9 out of the 12 correct. And I think I got 8. Did you get 8 as well?
Oh, I got nowhere near 8. I got 6.
So you took a couple chances there. You went for the upset, much like a March Madness tournament or something.
I can't wait to do my bracket right now.
So the winner, we had to choose out of, because there were 3 people who had 9, and out of those 3, 1 winner was randomly chosen, and it was Heijin. So she wins an Amazon gift certificate. So we do have to redeem ourselves, and you know, but last year when we did a little preview of American Idol, I thought we did fairly well on who we thought was going to do well in the season, and this year, I think it's going to be a little bit harder because so far, as I've been watching since the Hollywood shows, there's not really a – well, let me take it back for 1 second. Last year, when Lambert performed in Hollywood Week, we knew that guy is going far. There's not a Lambert this year. There's not a – Blake Lewis, who in Hollywood Week drops a bomb on everybody and thus makes himself very popular going into the season. I think the closest thing that we had to that was when I believe it was Andrew Garcia who did the Paula Abdul Straight Up and then progressively just wasn't as impressive every week after that. So, I mean, do you think it's going to be a little harder this year? It just seems that it's anybody's contest this year.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Double G. I think there are probably 4 people who could be the quote-unquote American Idol, but I haven't seen anyone with maybe the exception of Crystal Bowersox actually even begin to get a lot of like fan buzz on the internet. So when you look at these American Idol sites, this time last year, we started seeing them springing up for folks like Adam Lambert. Danny Gokey was already, you know, a big, heavy favorite to do well. And there's nothing like that going on right now. Again, with the exception of Crystal Bowersox, who seems to be ambivalent about the contest entirely.
And I guess that's part of her charm, too. You know, she has an interesting story herself, being a mother. But, you know, there's not a ton of really interesting stories. You mentioned Gokey, and Gokey had a really cool story last year. You know, he had an unfortunate situation happen to him, but they used that and he used that to sort of tell his story as a singer. But he's kind of, I don't, maybe this top 12 doesn't have that kind of background as previous, but it seems also that from a personality standpoint, from a background standpoint, you know, there's no really, really memorable stories, at least so far.
Well, I think there are a few that have actually been hidden, and we should talk about maybe some of that later. I think that right now what's going on is, the show is still a juggernaut, of course, and really it frames music. But at this point, we're looking at folks who are probably not accessible or very relevant to today's music. And American Idol folks went on the record early on. They said they wanted a Taylor Swift-like winner. They wanted a Carrie or a Kelly to come out, or a Fantasia, you know, to come out and be extraordinarily relevant. They didn't want Taylor Hicks. And
right.
as much as I like Michael Lynch, they don't want Reuben Studdard, you know,
right.
the rebirth. So, I mean, they really want somebody hot, young, and exciting. And right now, he's not out there.
Yeah, you know, that total package of what you've just explained is really not out there. Now, I want to read through the top 12.
Yeah.
We'll just go through this quickly just so that when people know when we say Andrew, this is exactly who we're talking about. So quickly, top 12, Aaron Kelly, I think he's the youngest guy who made it.
Mm-hmm.
He's 16, and he's from Pennsylvania. And we had Andrew Garcia, who I already mentioned, who did the Paula Abdul Straight Up song. He's from California. We have Casey James, who is the favorite of Cara DiGuardi. She's been fawning over him ever since the beginning of the shows. He's 27, and you mentioned Crystal already. She's 24 from Ohio. Dee Dee is 23 from Tennessee. Not that she fits the Carrie Underwood because she doesn't have the chops, but I mean she kind of fits the blonde and fair skin, kind of what they want
mm-hmm.
as far as, you know, who they want as a winner and sort of her style of singing and such. I just don't think she quite has the chops. Katie, who's the youngest female from the East Coast, she is 17. And Lacey Brown, she just kind of snuck by me. I never thought she was going to make it very far from Hollywood Week, and she's in the top 12. She's 24 from Texas. Lee DeWise, who might actually fit closest to what you were just talking about from a male perspective, he's 23 from Illinois. And you mentioned Big Mike, Michael Lynch, former college football player. He's 26. You know, he did have a pretty cool story in Hollywood Week, as his child was born right before he was going to go up and sing. Was that Hollywood Week or was that before?
I think that was going right into Hollywood Week, right as they were prepping for it. It may have been the group period, right? So he'd already done one performance, but the whole shtick was, hey, his wife is pregnant, and you know, the baby's due any minute, and then, of course, they had whole video packages of him greeting his wife and his baby on the phone and then presumably walking right out onto the wings and singing, which is not exactly probably
yeah,
how it happened,
pretty good time.
It was a great video package.
So the last three are Miss Paige Miles, who I think she's probably a little unpopular going into this week because she was one of the couple to make it in last week, and she did not have a good week. So there were a few fans there who thought she should have been out of there. And she's 24 from Florida. Tim Urban is 20 from Texas. And then we have the woman who I think may be the strangest young woman that I've ever seen make it to the top 12. And I can't ever pronounce her name, her first name. How do you pronounce her first name?
She is Siobhan.
Okay, you're going to have to do that for the rest of the show.
Okay.
I still can't do it.
Siobhan.
So,
yeah.
She actually stood out at the end there in the last 2 weeks when they were having to break it down. She performed fairly well. I just still get the creeps when I watch her talk. She's like the weird girl, but hey, she can sing and she is in the top 12. So
yeah.
I know you had mentioned that there were some interesting stories that might have been covered up, and you were a little bit more clued into this than I was, so I wanted to let you go ahead and kind of lead with the information that you have that, you know, hasn't been really well publicized. So why don't you go ahead and talk about these controversies?
Absolutely. Well, American Idol always has controversy. Part of that is manufactured controversy. If you remember a year ago, for example, when Joanne Pacitti, I think it's how her name is pronounced, showed up in an audition, Kara DioGuardi looked at her and said, and Kara, of course, is a record executive, and said, wait a minute, weren't you signed onto, you know, whatever label, she said. And they passed her through, and it was just this, you know, horrendous faux pas because they had to blow her out of the competition. So every year there's always, you know, a couple of things. There's a, you know, a normal thing like a misread on a telephone number or things like that, and we have to, you know, throw out that week's voting. Anoop Desai is probably one of the best examples of sort of a controversy that doesn't get played up. Anoop was out, and Anoop showed up in the bullseye in Entertainment Weekly. And suddenly we had a top 13 for the first time in American Idol's history. We haven't had one since, but, you know, and Anoop sailed right on through weeks on television. And I get the feeling that, frankly, that a little bit of Tim Urban's going on with that too, because he's certainly not got the vocal chops right. You know, the biggest issue one big issue that's going on is Michael Lynch. And this is almost disingenuous on American Idol's part. Michael Lynch's brother just missed the top 24 6 years ago now. And with all of the airtime that we've given Michael Lynch, nobody's bothered to say it. So it's almost as if we're going to spring it on the audiences three more weeks in. Michael also had an interesting issue in that his mother works for the newspaper in St. Petersburg, Florida. And apparently that newspaper broke a story early that Lynch had made the top 24. And there was a controversy swirling around the internet for probably a good week that the father had confirmed the story to the St. Petersburg Times that he was out. And, you know, mom had this longstanding relationship before she passed away with the paper, and dad had confirmed it, and supposedly now he never did. I don't know what happened.
I heard that story. Mm-hmm. But I heard it without the mom working for the newspaper part, so that even makes it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, so she wasn't there anymore. As I said, she had passed away. But just the fact, right? Just the fact that she had been there was sort of a, I think we all know how some of these stories come out. And it very easily could have been something where the father was speculating or just sort of talking out of his, you know, just talking.
Right.
So I think that happened. You know, early on, I mean, there were contestants who appeared topless or, you know, remember a top 12 contestant a couple of years ago named Antonella Barba? Really beautiful girl, but you know, she showed up in some photos and boom, she was out, which was again one of their controversies made for television, because David Hernandez, who really shouldn't have been where he was at that point, was a former
server.
so we have all sorts of controversies like that sort of swirling around. The Michael Lynch thing is just one that just seems that the producers are jerking around the audience a little bit. Scott McIntyre's performance last week. I don't know, what'd you think of it? Did you like it?
I don't like Scott.
Yeah.
So
that's fair. Well, Scott has dropped his fourth album, of course, because he's an amateur, and. This is his first major release, first major label release. It's called Hard Strings. And he and Matt did a Billy Joel cover,
yes.
Which is fine, except the Billy Joel cover's not on the album.
Right.
So at some point, you start to say, why are you guys now doing this? Why are you forcing a cover of a 25-year-old pop song that's probably older than Scott?
Yeah, and it wasn't like there was any sort of theme that week. It didn't necessarily match, anything that they were doing on the shows, and it actually felt so out of place. Just almost, oh, by the way, here are two guys who didn't even go very far, and they're just going to duet together for no reason whatsoever.
Right, and they had the little dueling pianos thing, which is actually Matt Gerard's background. So that was kind of interesting for about 20 seconds, and then it got really boring really fast. One more thing that's sort of come out, and you almost think American Idol wouldn't do this, but they do, because I've gone back and I've watched two shows back now, checking for it, and get this, the camera angle, and this is what I want everybody to look at this next week, or this week. If you've got a tight shot, full on with the contestant and Ryan together, after the judges have talked, the producers are giving them FaceTime. Otherwise, you're picking up a camera from stage right, and you've got the contestant in profile. Listen to the judging commentary, then watch the camera angles. It's really, really interesting when they want somebody to vamp and they want Ryan to give them extra time and whatever. It's a straight mm-hmm. shot. And there are a couple websites out there who have actually taken screen caps, and they're probably going to get yanked down before too long. But sure enough, people who are going, or people who really are getting this, you know, subliminal message of get out, are getting profile shots instead of these full on shots.
Well, it starts in audition week. You know, everybody remembers the very memorable stories from audition week, and it's not like, and we're not saying that anything is underhanded in voting or anything. I'm sure all that, you know, is more than likely legit, but
sure.
you actually change or help sway opinion to what you want based on, you know, what you do. I'm going to relate this to something that probably only I will ever relate it to, but... And it has to do with professional wrestling, the most contrived thing going. But what they would do is they had a show where they said, okay, we're going to have these matches, or we're going to give you these possible matches, and the fans, you will vote to tell us which are the ones that you want to see, and we'll put them on pay-per-view, and you can go buy the show and watch it. But what they would do is you could tell which ones they wanted the fans to vote for, because they would push those matches more strongly than the others. And, you know, probably 75% the fans would vote pretty much what they wanted, but there was always that quarter of a percent where that would throw it off. So, you know, American Idol's very much in the same way. In the audition weeks and weeks, you can tell, okay, they found somebody who they liked, they're going to show us, and they're going to hit us early, thus we're going to remember that person when they go to Hollywood and if they make the top 24 and all that stuff. And then there are others who sneak up on us because they've somehow gone through the pipeline, and you go, oh, I don't remember seeing that person at all. Well, it's because they didn't show us that person at all for the whole 2 months before, before the top 12 even starts. So, yeah, you know, that's the business. That's reality television.
It is, and that's a great point to remind people. This is reality television. So when you see... people talking or chatting or whatever, and you know, sometimes they've pulled back the curtain a few times now. Believe it or not, it's been Ellen DeGeneres who has said this more often than not, you know, when she talks about watching rehearsals, or gee, I heard you in rehearsal and you've done much better tonight, because the judges watch the rehearsal, the judges know what's going on.
Exactly.
And it's a it is a reality TV show, and I think that's a wise thing to remember. So
and you remember that. Well, I was going to say, and remember the Paula faux pas from, it was either last year or the year before, where she mentioned, a second song, and it was only the person's first song, so they were very confused, but it was because she knew what was coming, and she knew from rehearsals, so she just got confused on live television. Yeah, so that definitely pulled back the curtain for some folks.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was actually Jason Castro So between the two of them and whatever they were imbibing in that week, I don't think either one of them understood what was going on. But yeah, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what happens. Is you know, these things get planted out there, much like Lacey, who you mentioned. You know, the joke was, you know, Lacey's been passed through simply as a we're sorry for booting you instead of that weirdo Megan Joy. who was on the show last year, because Lacey was that last woman, you know, and she and Megan were sitting together when they cut her. But, you know, we should talk about who's on there and maybe who's not on there, because that's, to me, a pretty interesting thing that's going on. Before
on
that, I have to tell you, have you heard the rumor about who Simon has said he wants to be a mentor this year?
You know, I you sent this to me in a note, but no, I haven't heard it. So
he wants Gaga. He wants Gaga, and he said, and I love what he said, she's the most relevant pop artist in the world. She's smart, and I like her. I actually pulled it down.
Is she more relevant than Beyonce?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay.
I think she's more groundbreaking, but Beyonce obviously flows right into the American Idol demographic.
Right.
It's a perfect thing for her. But he wants Gaga, and he wants Gaga for obvious reasons. You know, this year for Simon is a rehearsal for X Factor.
Yeah. Actually, we will definitely touch on that in a second, because I do want to ask your opinion about Simon leaving at the end of this season. But quickly, you know, you brought up Gaga, and that's really interesting. And the reason why it's not the reason why I brought up Beyonce, but the reason why my mind just went Beyonce is because they released that music video that Paul on our site, he actually linked to, and he wrote up a really good write-up about the video and sort of music videos today and how groundbreaking they used to be and why, and this really good write-up by Paul, and I watched about half the video. I haven't finished it because I had to stop. But what did you think about that whole? It was really weird, but I thought it was super creative.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I think it was intense. I understand why you sort of stopped and said, you know, let me sort of process this, because, you know, videos got real safe for the last decade, for the most part. And, you know, they really just got to be cool images, you know, over somebody mouthing some lyrics. And, you know, a couple of folks have over the last few months been making some really interesting ones. A jazz guy named Brian Culbertson made one that was a mix of electronica and opera with this really, really hot looking woman, and took Facebook by storm with it. Because nobody had seen anything like that.
Right.
And I think you're right. I think, you know, Paul nailed it. Paul compared it to Thriller. And then he said, look, it's not Thriller, but as much of a shift as Thriller was for music in the early 80s, this is as much of a shift. And I suspect he's right. And
yeah, no,
I don't want
Beyonce like
as a mentor. She's too nice.
You know, the comparison of Thriller, and we'll get off of this and go back to American Idol, but at first I was like, how can you compare it to Thriller? But then when you read into what he's talking about, he makes the comparison and he backs it up, and it is a really good comparison. So, yeah, I mean, check that out if you haven't yet. It's on the blog on Sonic Clash. Just, you know, do a search on the page for Lady Gaga. But so to go back to American Idol, what we were just talking about, you know, you mentioned X Factor, and I have actually written a lot about Ellen during her first few weeks as the fourth judge. And, you know, even though Ellen coming on and Simon leaving, at least I don't think, you know, Ellen's replacing Paula. She wasn't replacing, you know, Simon. And it seemed like this news came out before Simon had decided to leave. So Ellen comes in, and immediately – the first week I thought she was terrible. And the first thing that went into my mind was, Ellen in, Simon out, next year's going to suck.
Oh, I think you weren't alone. I think that's pretty much was what everyone was thinking at the time. But they've retrenched it, haven't they?
Yes. Week two was really good. And, I wrote a couple things. I kind of wrote up week one, and then I wrote up week two and said how much better it was. And the judge order, it just really shows what producing is all about, how you can take the same people, the same material, switch it around, and it's 10 times better than it was. Ellen was doing a lot of in the first week, they were doing some weird things where she would lead with the criticism, have absolutely nothing to say, and then it would get to Simon, and then Ellen would, like, wrap it all up at the end and just be like, well, why did she even talk in the first place? And then they would go to Kara first and Simon first, and then they'd kind of bounce around, and I thought it was really weird. But, again, when with Ellen coming in, like, it was just sort of throwing things off route a little bit. I'm sure they had to figure out, okay, what is the best way to do this, and they had to do it on live television. But week two, they cemented them in their spots and went Randy, then Ellen, then Kara, then Simon. And I thought it was really, really good. It allows Ellen to be charming, which is she's terribly charming. That's her strength, and she's very quick with her wit. So she's able to vibe off of Randy a little bit. And I think that for whatever reason, they think there's some sort of winning combination with Kara and Simon kind of getting close to each other, but not really. And, and it's really weird because they talk about Kara being married, and then they talk about Simon's fiance. Yes, they want them to kind of flirt and do the old Paula Simon thing. I almost think that they should move Ellen next to Simon and let Randy and Kara hit, like, the hardcore music stuff. Let Ellen kind of, make it a little fun, and then let Simon come and clean it up like Mark McGuire in his prime. But I think I think they're pretty comfortable with what they're doing right now. But I'm guessing you thought week two was much better.
Oh, clearly much better. And I read what you wrote, and I thought you were just spot on. I think that Randy had to give Ellen at least, as you said, something that she could catch the vibe of, and it was what we were seeing in week one was Ellen would praise somebody and then Kara and Randy would smash it. and so Ellen's being made to look, really bad in the light. And you're right. She's just absolutely disarming and charming. I don't think we've ever seen a judge run onto the stage. I was trying to think back if anybody had ever done that, and I can't remember it.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
Yeah, so it's a really cool, different feeling that she brings to it. In some ways, I'm kind of reminded of the Dennis Miller experiment on Monday Night Football. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Horrible
mm-hmm.
thing. But she's actually got a chance to pull it out. Interestingly enough, I think that more than Kara and Simon flirting, I think the show is really positioning them as the brain trust, and as hard as they can, they're positioning Kara as Simon's equal in terms of music. And she's extraordinarily relevant. I mean, she only wrote 3 or 4 hit songs last year. If Randy does re-sign, that's an interesting mix. Then you can drop almost anybody, almost any musician or any record exec in there and probably be okay if that transition to Kara occurs.
I didn't think about that, but having Kara be seen with Simon sort of establishes her even more than it did last year. Now, do you think that if Randy does re-sign and you have Randy, Ellen, and Kara, do you think they just try to find a fourth person, or can they get away with going with just the three of them?
No, I think they absolutely need that fourth person in there because Randy just is so, you know, so much of a loose cannon. He just, at some level, big chunks of America don't relate to him.
Right.
So, you know, I listened to him talking about Casey James playing the guitar, and it was good to bash him, but I really thought he was wrong to even praise him at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Casey went off on this extended riff that probably was 30% of his entire song time. And,
right.
And the other judges nailed him for it, and rightfully so. And Randy wanted to talk about the guitar. The other thing, though, that I think that Randy and both Kara and Randy are doing really well this year, as is Simon, is they're talking about what kind of recording artist would you be? And that's a real, real sea change for American Idol. We really haven't heard that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll put a music exec on there. I don't think it'll be Howard Stern. Don't read the internet. Don't worry.
Yeah, there's absolutely zero way that happens.
Yeah. You don't ruin the best, you know, television and music franchise in the world by putting, you know, one of the most polarizing people ever there.
And it's not. I mean, and Howard Stern is great in his medium.
Sure.
You know, he would pop a Leno or a Letterman rating every once in a while, but every time he's come to TV and tried to do something, it's been a disaster for one reason or another. And you know, he's just not. I think he's just getting bored with what he's doing and keeping his name out there. But yeah, that's not going to happen.
He's got a radio contract coming up.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like a ball player in his contract here. So that's, I think that's what it is. Here's my prediction. Are you ready for my big, big judge prediction?
Shoot.
If they don't go with a record exec, the people, the guest judges who you saw during the auditions were really being auditioned as judges for chemistry.
As long as it's not Shania Twain.
Well, you know what? I think, you know, there's so much data. You know the internet and you know modern media right now. So based on where people were fast-forwarding their TiVos and what the buzz was on Twitter and what the boards look like and things like that, I don't know if it's Shania. I mean, it was interesting to see that they brought back, you know, Beckham twice.
Right. Excuse me. The robot that used to be Posh Spice.
Oh, I'm telling you, didn't she look like a Stepford wife?
She looked like a mannequin. Like I was like, that, you know, who's behind that person? So before we do our, I do want you to go over who you thought might have been screwed in this contest and probably had a good shot. And I'll go through mine as well. And then we'll get to who we think are maybe the final three. But I want your quick 1 minute answer on a couple things about Simon. One, obviously he's leaving. We talked about that. He's going to X Factor next year. One, does he have a cut with American Idol even if he leaves, or is he completely not associated with the show anymore? And then two, do you think that he is using this year to really see what's working and what's not working so that when he brings the X Factor to the United States, you know, whether it comes with Paula Abdul or not, like they are really going to position themselves as sort of like the cool new thing to the American Idol's old sort of tired show?
Yeah, I think the break is absolutely clean. Now, does that mean he won't ever show up because he wants his own ratings pop for whatever? Or just remind folks that it's coming, because the scheduling and the timing will be interesting. But he's clearly out. He owns a nice chunk of X Factor. And the concept for those who are listening who don't know is that the judges actually mentor and coach contestants through. And if you listen to Simon in the last couple of weeks, twice now he has told contestants on American Idol, I wish I were picking your songs. gee, is that like on the X Factor, Simon? Is that what so he's even prepping that whole concept. Gee, it'd be great if Simon were picking songs. Well, that's
right.
What he's gonna do. So I think that he's off American Idol. I don't think he'll be connected with it. He might do, you know, a smile and wave at one point as a favor or as a whatever, as a give me back. But, you know, and Seacrest would return the favor, but he's not going to be involved in the show. He really
right.
tried to bring both together on Fox, and from what I understand from everything I've heard and read, 19 and Shaman just squashed it and said there's no way we're going to compete with Simon in this market.
Right. All right, so now, you know, at the top of the show, I mentioned those who made the top 12. There were a few people who got cut, like Lily Scott, who, for whatever reason, just kind of, you know, maybe she wasn't pumped enough, or maybe people didn't think that they had to vote for her because they figured she was in. But I think she stands out most as someone who definitely needed to be a part of this top 12, and probably, if they would have pushed her enough, had the talent to get even in upward of the top four. Do you agree? And also, you know, who else do you think should be there, and then who shouldn't, who did make it?
I absolutely agree with you about Lily Scott. She followed Bowersox that night, and she closed the show. And Kara said at the time, you know, you made Patsy Cline sound relevant. I don't know about that, but she really did a nice job with it. I did think the song choices throughout the first couple of weeks were horrible, and you were listening to people say, well, the song means a lot to me, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, how about the one that you can really just smash instead of the one that means a lot to you? And I think maybe Lily fell into that. She had a little bit of that goth girl thing going on, too, and she had a weird backstory.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure she was connecting with as many people because of that. I liked her. I agree with you. I thought she was definitely at the end of the show. I thought there were some really talented singers who didn't make it. I thought Joe Munoz getting cut at the beginning was an absolute mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Jermaine Sellers. I think he could have been shaped much like Elliot Yameen was shaped.
Right.
Very much an Elliot-like singer, too. So those are my two favorite. I thought there was two sort of gimmicky-type singers that would have been interesting to hear later on. Alex Lambert. It would have been a great story all along. And I think Hayley Vaughan had this really interesting thing. She's, you know, she's young. She's 16. She's black, and she sings
right.
country. How many 16-year-old black girls you know sing country? It ain't a lot. And she did it well. I mean, she had that squeaky Minnie Mouse voice, so maybe she did deserve to be cut for that. But
yeah,
certainly I think I think you're absolutely right. I think Lily Scott there. Tim Urban shouldn't be there, in my opinion. I'm not sure why he is. I actually thought Garcia was gone last week.
Yeah, so did I.
And you know, for the women, I have to tell you, I'm on the fence with both Lacey and Dee Dee. I'm not quite sure. You know, I guess they're going to go early. One thing, though, that, you know, you mentioned the ages, Gigi, and think about this. You know, the age limit's 28. You don't have a 28-year-old in there. You got one 27-year-old in Casey. And
Mike's
and
26.
Lynch is up there, too, 26. Everybody else is in their early 20s, and there are three teenagers in the top 12.
Yep.
So the show is, you know, if the votes are the votes, okay. I'm not sure I buy into that totally yet, but I can certainly tell you that three top 12 being teenagers and everybody else being in their young 20s is not where Idol went 3 years ago. So I
right.
really, they're trying to retrench. And now, you know, you're talking to somebody like Katie Stevens, who had an American Idol lunchbox.
Exactly. You know, I really liked her in the beginning, and then just in successive weeks, I liked her less and less and less. And I was really surprised that she made it. The other person I was surprised who made it was just who you said was Dee Dee. I mean, she's, you know, she kind of looks like Brooke from, was Brooke last year or 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Okay. She kind of reminded me of Brooke, but I was like, well, Brooke is still twice the recording artist that Dee Dee would ever become. But, you know, the people that I thought, you know, I wasn't upset that Alex left. I don't think, you know, you can actually have stage fright in this contest and go very far. Mm-hmm. It comes across, you can see it in his eyes. And, you know, whoever told him to continue wearing a mullet in 2010, he... That haircut alone probably caused him votes. You know,
they didn't like
Jermaine was,
banana.
Jermaine was interesting because, you know what Jermaine showed is that you fight with Simon and people don't like you for whatever reason. You know, Simon is very critical, but if you critique him, the fans turn on you. And I think that probably caused him... very early on, I was actually surprised he made it out of as far as he did, not because from a talent perspective, but just because, you know, he immediately went on the offensive with the judges, and that never works. I heard from some people that they were bothered that Caitlin left the show. I wasn't really that bothered. I thought if she made the show, she would have been gone by week 8.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the only real person I missed was Janelle, and that wasn't because of her singing. I just liked her pants from a couple weeks ago. So, no one I was really, really, like, strong for that didn't make it. I guess some of that has to do with I just haven't really linked myself with a couple of these guys yet. Though last week's show... how could you not like Michael Lynch after what he did? And, you know, it seems to me that he's getting a little bit of the benefit of the doubt with these judges because he's a pretty likable guy.
Yep.
And there's a couple of times when, you know, when I heard him sing and I was like, okay, that's not bad. And then they really enjoyed it. I think the thing with him is because we know his story, we know he's a new dad, he comes across as like very human. And some of these kids, you can just see it in their eyes where they're just scared out of their wits. And he's just like, hey, I'm me. This is who I am. Like, I'm just this big ex-football player who's lucky to have a good voice. And I'm just going to take this as far as I can. So, you know, to that end, I think he comes across as very human, very likable. Whereas some of these, you know, you mentioned the age. And I think that has something to do with it is that they just don't have the, you know, maybe the maturity to really go out there and show people, you know, who they can be as artists. They just come across as just kind of like a little scared, a little timid, and I think it affects their performances.
And that's a great point about Idol from this year versus previous years. I remember when we were talking about Adam Lambert last year on this very podcast, and we were talking about the fact that he was playing Wicked in San Francisco. And
right,
at
right,
that
right.
level, when you're in a traveling company or in a road company for a major show, you're not an amateur anymore. Or David Cook wins, and here are his first two, you know, albums. You know, when guys have gone into the studio, or gals have gone into the studio before, Melinda Doolittle was a backup singer, remember. We don't have a lot of that this time. I mean, Lynch went to a school for the performing arts. And obviously other folks have been in bands and things like that. But, you know, Aaron Kelly and Katie Stevens, they're not exactly child stars. So
right.
I that's kind of refreshing. But you're right about, I think about the arguing with Simon thing. It rarely works. I was desperate to see Simon go to a down-home church with Jermaine. I was just begging for him to go. What a great video that would have been. And Simon would have gone, and it would have worked. I think the best singer actually still in the competition, you're going to laugh at me when I tell you this, is Paige Miles. The best.
I'm not going to laugh at you. And I think that she is definitely one of the best. Her problem is just that whatever it is either her personality hasn't come out or you know, she's kind of on and off. Like, she picks the right song, and then the next time she doesn't really hit it out of the park. But,
yep.
You know, she's not if she goes on the stage and you pit her against, you know, four or five people, if you listen back to the tape or you rewatch it and you're looking for whoever has the best voice, you'll go, okay, she's it. But if, and this is how American Idol works, if you just go through the five and you go, okay, like, let me go back to my memory, you don't necessarily think she's the best because for whatever reason, she's not super memorable.
She isn't. She is forgettable. You and I have talked before about, you know, we talked tonight about age. You and I have talked in the past about race playing an issue on Idol. And that can be black, that can be Spanish, that can be anything. I know it's a truism. I mean, you can see it in the splits. You know, when people start to be thrown into the bottom two, and you're like, why? And I guess we just have to ask Jennifer Hudson how that works.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's an interesting thing. I wonder if that's going to help or hurt her. Or maybe keep her in a little while longer. But who's going to be our top three? Who do you think?
Well, before we actually get to that, I want you to tease a little Sonic Clash community thing that we're going to do with American Idol. I will be blogging the Wednesday show, which is the results show on Sonic Clash. I've historically blogged the Tuesday show on my own blog ever since season two, so I've been doing that forever and a day. So I'm going to keep that there, but on Wednesdays I will have a blog on the elimination show, and you know, people can comment on that and give me their thoughts and such. But we also want to do something else with the American Idol. So why don't you go ahead and kind of give people a heads up about what you're thinking about doing.
Right. So it's March Madness time, and it's also going to be Idol Madness. So if you watch Sonic Clash on and you go to the blog, you'll have the ability to at any time during the year, but obviously you want to get in early because you build up points each week. You get the person right. Now, obviously, if you pick your top three people, it's like picking your final four. You're going to win.
Right.
But that's hard to do at the beginning of the year. And we want folks who can come in at any point during the year. So there's going to be some weekly prizes coming through, and there's going to be a very, very cool prize coming through. And you're just going to have to see what that is. That will be announced on Tuesday before the show. I feel like Ryan. So after House, right before the check out AmericanIdol.com.
You will have a blog post out before the actual Tuesday night show, explaining kind of how the little game works.
Exactly. So and we're even going to have a little form. You're going to be able to submit a form, and we're going to have a little menu where you can check your standings throughout the entire season against the world.
And you and I will be playing, so they can measure themselves against us, like they did last week when we lost in the top 12 contest.
Yeah, so I picked John Park and Alex Lambert and Jermaine Sellers, and I don't know that I should ever say who's going to win this. I'm afraid.
All right, so let's go to the final three. I'm very curious about who you're going to choose for this final three here. I have mine. I'm a little bit on the fence about it, but hey, you know, gonna have to go for it here. Give me your final three, and then I will give you mine.
Okay. I will tell you who is going to be the final three. I have no idea who's going to be the idol, though. I can't imagine. But my final three is Bauer Sox, Siobhan Magnus, and Lee DeWise.
Very good. If Miss Magnus gets into the final three, Oh, I'm going to run out of jokes by about week six. So I don't know. She's going to have to give me more material by just continually acting goofy, just being weird, telling us weird things about herself. So I'm with you on two of those three. Crystal, Lee, I'm there. There's something about this love for Michael Lynch that I think, I don't know. There's just something about the guy that makes him extremely likable. He's not, you know, you mentioned Ruben earlier. You know, Ruben was really like kind of cool and quiet and kind of teddy bearish, like shy. And Michael's very bombastic, and he wants, you know, he's aggressive, and, you know, every time it looks like he's going to grab Ryan and, you know, put him on his shoulder or something. Like, he just looks like just that kind of guy. I kind of like that about him. I think, you know, having that sort of personable, just aggressive, very happy, like, you know, there's something about him that projects well on television that I like, and it seems like the judge is like, I don't know about his singing 100%, but, you know, they really seem to like him. So there's something that they're hearing that I'm not exactly hearing, but that him in my top three is more a testament to, you know, how likable I think he is necessarily than the singing part, but they've given him good grades on that too. So that's my top three.
I think that's a great choice.
Person.
No, I think Michael, the only reason that I don't pick Lynch is because it's a long season, and when I've seen Idol build up folks for an entire season, there seems to be an implosion. And I think, again, you know, the conspiracy theory, and I'm wearing a tinfoil hat as I say this, but half of me always wonders if, you know, Jennifer Hudson and Chris Daughtry and people like that get knocked off the show 3 or 4 or 5 weeks out simply to get a ratings pop, simply to get all of that buzz. Can't believe they voted off Daughtry. What's going on? And so I almost wonder if Michael Lynch is sort of that sacrificial guy. Plus, you know, he is a talented dude, and he is fun to watch, and he's likable, and I have no idea what in the world he's going to do during Rolling Stones week this week.
Yeah.
That kind of scares me. Kind of scares me for Paige Miles, too, but I think they'll get through it. I will tell you that my dark horse, if he ever can get a good coach, maybe he belongs on the X Factor. So I'm going to throw a fourth in there. But my dark horse is Aaron Kelly.
Interesting. See, to me, he has also not been very memorable. The only reason I know who he is because I know they keep calling him the young guy. But I've watched every show. Not super closely because I don't start following very intensely until the top 12, but I can't even remember anything that he's performed.
Well, and part of that is because he performs songs that are older than I am, Forget You, but he's performing like ancient stuff, and he got nailed by Simon in week one. Actually, he started with a Rascal Flatts song, so he's a Southern kid. And if you watch him, he's got the same sort of cheek structure and same smile structure as Tom Cruise. Watching, you get this big early Tom Cruise grin back when Tom used to smile. And in week one, he did a Rascal Flatts song, and he nailed it, and they loved him. And then he did The Temptations. And, you know, as Simon said at the time, you know, I could have seen this audition 30 years ago. And he was right. And then the last time he sang, when they said Lone Star, I said, he is not singing the song about the guy who's like a salesman on the road calling home and talking to mama and the babies. And that's exactly what he did. And Kara got him for this one. She's like, you're 16. You can't carry a song that starts off about you're calling from a lonely, cold hotel room.
Okay, that I do remember. That I remember.
So he's a good-looking kid. Here's the thing, though. He can sing. He can flat out sing. So if he gets that, especially the text crowd, you know, if he gets the teenage girls in America and especially the tweens going for him, that's going to be an interesting four. So that's he's my number four. So I'm sneaking him in at number four.
And do we both think that Tim Urban is first to go?
No. I think Urban's going to be around a few more weeks.
Interesting.
I think you'll see somebody like Didi or Lacey go before you'll see Tim go.
Okay.
I just don't know. You know, it's Rolling Stones week. I don't know with that Minnie Mouse voice what in the world Lacey's going to sing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, she's got sort of that cutesy vibe going, and it's going to be a train wreck. Tim Urban is getting a lot of positive buzz. I mean, I saw a funny quote that said, if you take Chris Allen and you add protein shakes and you subtract singing talent, you get Tim Urban.
Protein shakes.
Yeah, I don't know that he's as ripped as all that, but he's a good-looking kid.
All right, so there you have it. Those are our top three. And as George mentioned, check the site on Tuesday, and he will have a post out that explains the game. Do we have a name for the contest or the game?
We don't. Somebody can get an extra point by giving. No, you can't get an extra point by giving me one. We got to be very careful, obviously, because we aren't making sweepstakes and American Idol, so it won't be that. It'll be something related to Sonic Clash, and we just haven't come up with that cool name yet. But
cool. And like I mentioned also, I will be there Wednesday. Unfortunately, because I'm on the West Coast and I don't get to see this show live, a lot of what I write will be out about 3 hours later than the East Coast information. So, you know, I try to make it as entertaining as possible because I know for most it is old news very quickly. But I will also have those posts on Wednesday night, which sometimes will be Thursday morning for some folks. So we will have good coverage of American Idol. And if this season gets intense or becomes super interesting, George and I may be back to talk about the ongoings and maybe even the top two or something like that. So, but thanks, George, for hanging out and talking. I know we went, how long did we go? We went about almost an hour or so. A little bit long, but it was a good conversation. I enjoyed it, and I hope everybody else did. So for George, I'm Double G, and we will see everybody later on the site, SonicClash.com.